Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. This is the leftover season. At what point do you get tired of eating turkey leftovers?
I had a turkey sandwich yesterday. I loved it.
Yeah. Did you do a sandwich? Or
yes.
Did you do...
See... I did a sandwich.
I did the...
Yeah, I know what you do. You do the open face.
That's not a sandwich.
That is
the proper way to have a hot turkey sandwich.
It's not a sandwich.
It's a sandwich.
No, it's not.
It's an open face sandwich.
It's a plate of food with a piece of bread under it.
Two pieces of bread.
Yeah, because you spread it out.
I do spread it out.
No, I went.
It was delicious.
I went turkey. I went mayo on the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey, salt and pepper, and just the thickest hunk slice of onion.
Ooh.
That's it. That's all I had on there.
Mm.
It was delicious.
Well, we're looking for your Bronco Charger leftovers, stuff that maybe didn't get talked about as much in the immediate aftermath of the game yesterday. Hit us up on the Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Just had Mike Kliss on, and he was saying that, hey, maybe at least for now, instead of constantly trying to fire and get Vic Fangio fired, maybe mm-hmm. people should sit back and let's see how this all plays out, because they have been playing better of late, having won, what, three of their last...
Four games.
Should we start maybe giving Vic Fangio a little bit more benefit of the doubt before we just look to bury him?
It's an interesting question. I mean, I get the sense that people look at what has gone on here over his tenure and all the double-digit losses and the non-competitive games and you're not playing well at home. And you can't overlook that because, you know, you did a good job in Dallas and you did a good job against the Chargers. Can't overlook the times your team just didn't show up against the Raiders. It didn't show up against Cleveland. I'm fine with saying, okay, let's see how it plays out. But I think you're closer to out the door than you are saving your job. So, it's going to take a great run here down the end to save your, and if you get a great run down the end and you do a lot of things well and your team looks like they're starting to respond, then yeah, good.
Right.
That's great.
Right. See, that's
a positive.
That's been my argument about this whole thing, is that I get it. You only have to go on what you have to go on. And that is immediate grounds for firing. I get it. And I also understand that there's very little hope, trust. There's not a whole lot of credibility banked when it comes to the Broncos that they're going to be able to go on this kind of run. So when you put the two of it together, I can see why people are still looking at Vic Fangio needs to go. But under this scenario that we are talking about, that if they were able to go out and win four of their last six games and get to 10-7 and get into the playoffs, don't you understand that everything that you've seen over the last 2.5 years with Vic, that it would look drastically different under that scenario? I mean, you're talking about these last six games, leave Detroit out of it, but you're going up against Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Derek Carr on the road, Justin Herbert on the road, and then Patrick Mahomes. So in order to pull this off, we're all skeptical about their ability to do that, but if they were to do it, don't you think it would look and feel
right.
so different than anything that we've witnessed the last 2.5 years that even a lot of the Vic Fangio critics out there, when it's all said and done, might say, hey, you know what? Not bad.
It's
job
hard.
Well done.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
It's hard to erase the bad, though. It's hard to not look at the last six games if he does that and not think it's a little bit of an outlier, though. Because the narrative, and you hear it all over the place, really good defensive coordinator, bad head coach. And that's what people think. And here's the deal. When this offense has produced, it has felt like it's produced out of necessity because of injury.
Great point.
It doesn't feel like it's produced because it's grown. It doesn't feel like it's produced because Vic Fangio put his foot down and said, this is the way you're going to run this offense, and if you don't, you're getting fired. It feels like it's just been happenstance. And the reason I say that, like, it wouldn't feel that way, Mike, if they adhered to that formula. But they'll come out and run it 35 times against Dallas, and then they'll run it 15 times or 17 times against Philly. And so there doesn't feel like there's this is the way we're going to do things. It feels like, hey, man, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. Hope we meet in the middle somewhere. And that's why people get frustrated, because he doesn't feel like he's in charge. I played for some great ones. I played for Joe Gibbs and Mike Shanahan. There was no question who was in charge of the entirety of the football team. And if you were doing something that that guy didn't like on the defensive side or the offensive side, you'd hear about it. It'd get changed immediately. And he'd hold the coaches accountable.
Sunday at Arrowhead, arguably the biggest Denver football game in nearly 6 years. So we've put together a very special War Room panel to break it all down. Three former players who've all played multiple games at Arrowhead. Stoke, Nate, and Tyler will join James and Zach to look ahead at a game that appears to be a pivotal moment in franchise history. It's this Thursday from Brothers Barbecue off I-25 in Arapahoe. Stop by to grab lunch and meet the guys as we look ahead to Sunday night's flexed prime time showdown. Coming up next, leftovers from the Broncos-Chargers game, your thoughts on Vic Fangio, and what's the impact of the Nuggets likely losing MPJ for the rest of the season. That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, let's get to some reaction from you on the RamosLawn.com text line, 303-713-1043. Four down territory coming up at 7:30. Question mark at 8. Send those in. Hashtag question mark. Hashbound sentence to the internet. Get you right to the front of the line. Let's see. Here we go. A lot of Vic stuff coming in. It's not just the wins and losses with Vic. It's the lack of game management. I hate that. Doesn't that drive you crazy?
Oh, yeah. That's
just when you're ready to read it.
It disappears.
And it gets refreshed. Here we go. I got it.
Yeah, refreshed.
It is a lack of game management that still hasn't been any better, even with the wins. How does a lifetime coach not know how to use a timeout? How can he be still so oblivious? He challenges plays that are obvious to everyone else will not be overturned. If he has not improved on game management in 3 years, why would he think he ever will? Brandon in Washington.
Yeah, and I think those are all fair. I think it's hard, you know, the whole game management aspect, especially when you're still calling plays. It's hard to be dialed into everything else that is going on. And this is where, and I know there's a lot of guys that don't want to lose that connectivity with their players. They want to call the plays. They want to do all that stuff. But, I think it's one of those things that you can lose sight of, you can lose track of, and I don't know about the challenges, Mike, because there have been a lot of head-scratching challenges that you know. And is there somebody up in the booth looking at that stuff? Like, that's the thing I don't understand. Like, you can't see that. You don't see it very well on the field. So if that somebody in the booth says, yeah, let's just challenge it, I mean, then you need somebody else in the booth. That's never going to get overturned. It's clearly out of bounds. You know, remember the Tim Patrick out of bounds? I mean, or was it Cortland Sutton? Whoever it was. Clearly out of bounds. Don't challenge that. There's been several things that you would look at that, again, I don't know who's advising you. It almost feels like, and I said this yesterday, it almost feels like you're just protesting that you don't like the way they're calling the game.
Maybe.
That's not how the red flag works.
No. And that was one of those plays where I know the ball came out and the Broncos acted like it was a fumble. I think we've become savvy enough as Bronco fans that we've seen some of these botched challenges where immediately I found myself saying, no, don't challenge that. Don't challenge that. You know the way that they protect quarterbacks. They're not going to take a play like that on a quarterback and overturn it. They don't want to set that kind of precedent. They don't want to send out that kind of a message that, hey, it's okay to hit the quarterback and knock the ball loose. And, hey, if the ball gets knocked loose, you challenge it and it might be overturned or they don't want to do that. So there was no way that call was ever going to be overturned. And yet they threw the challenge flag and wasn't a long review. And what a surprise. They didn't win it. Some more here. All the mouthpieces for the Broncos are setting up Broncoland for a return of Fangio. Our boy James Merrillat, he's big on the whole. You watch, they go 8-9 or 9-8, and Vic will be back. Don't you think, Mark, that we're going to know? Not only will the record, but won't the eye test just tell us over these next six games? When you're going to Kansas City, to Vegas, to the Chargers, playing Kansas City here, won't we know? Won't the eye test just tell us whether or not Vic is the guy?
I believe it will. I believe you already have. I mean, I believe almost something miraculous. The way they're going to have to play down the stretch is going to have to be so good. And it's going to have to be one of those situations where everybody, like everything, like last week, Mike, special teams was actually good. Like they covered kicks well. They played well on that side. Like everything has to come together, especially Sunday night against Kansas City. Everything's going to have to come together for the Broncos to put a run together. And do you have faith that this team has what it takes to play all three phases of the game exceptionally well to put a stretch of 4-2 down the last six games? So it'll play itself out.
Much more on Vic and what he can do, if he can do anything, to win you over coming down the stretch. Hey, what's the impact of the Nuggets losing Michael Porter Jr. likely for the rest of the season? I know his agent came out and said indefinite. He'll be out indefinitely.
Right.
I don't know that you're looking at this from the Nuggets standpoint. He's making a paltry $5 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
And his new max contract kicks in next year. If I'm the Nuggets, I am protecting my, and I don't care what the insurance money Lloyd's of London may cover. This is still a massive investment. And I would think that they are going to do everything they have to do, even if it means just shutting him down for the rest of the season, just to try to get him back 100% for next year.
Yeah, I would have a hard time believing that they are going to rush him back. They're going to do everything they can do rehab-wise, calm down, to let that thing calm, to let that thing heal, to make sure that in that rehab process, you're not developing a bunch of scar tissue around those nerves, which are just going to irritate the nerves and keep you in, keep you locked up and keep you in spasm. They're going to do everything they can to slow play that rehab to make sure that they protect that investment as well as they can. And you know, ultimately, it's why you went out and got Gordon. It's, you know, you're assuming you're going to get Murray back. Shouldn't that be enough to still be a very viable Western Conference team? Is that enough to push into the playoffs and maybe challenge for a Western Conference title? And that's how you have to look at it. So we shall see, but maybe without having to worry about how you're going to get the right minutes and how you're going to develop a guy in Michael Porter Jr., you know, now we don't have to worry about that. So maybe it helps us a little bit in that regard when he's not hitting shots and he hasn't developed his game. You know, how are we going to make sure that he's still, you know, he's not doing one of those 0 for 0s where he goes 0 points and 0 shots hit and 0, you know, free throws. And I mean, that's impossible. A guy plays 25 minutes and puts zeros across the board. That's impossible to overcome as a team. So, you know, maybe there's a little blessing in disguise in this one.
Well, it's a Tuesday, which means another Mile High Hoops podcast presented by Superbook Sports. Get the latest on the Nuggets from Zach Bye, new daddy Zach Bye for the second time. Congratulations. Download it at denverfan.com or wherever you get your podcasts, all part of our commitment to bring you the most Nuggets content on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan. Four Down Territory coming up next. And are we watching the decline never be the same again of one of our hometown heroes? That's next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I want Mason Glory Hole.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. First down.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's different for a guy who's never come off the bench. You know, and in Drew's case, you know, we're probably not giving him enough reps during the week, you know, not to make an excuse for him. You know, but he's got to learn to do better at that. And maybe some of that is we need to have a better list of what he feels comfortable at operating with and running and calling. And hopefully he's learned from these two times. Hopefully there won't be another time due to injury and he'll do better next time.
Our 9 News Bronco insider, Mike Kliss, was on with us earlier and said that there are no plans to change the backup and elevate Brett Rypien into that role. They'll stay with Drew. Mark, I've seen enough. I used the analogy earlier. It's like when we used to, as kids played our records, you're supposed to play them at 45 RPM and you'd always tune it up to 78 just to see what it sounded like.
Yeah.
What did it sound like?
Oh, it was really scary. You know, it was like, hey, give me a, what would it be, a song? See, now I got to come up with a song.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
No, we're going to work on it.
I know you'll work on it. But, you know, when Teddy's in there, whatever you may say about Teddy, it feels like it's at 45.
Yeah.
Maybe even at 33 and a third.
Right.
But when Drew was out there for that short amount of time, it just was too, you used a great word earlier, frenetic. It was like you were turning that 45 record up to 78. And for what you need coming down the stretch, and seeing that Teddy Bridgewater is a bit brittle, I just don't see how you can trust in these games that are so important Drew Locke to the backup role.
I don't either. I think if you're going to do that, then you got to impress upon him, listen, no matter how well you play, doesn't matter. You are not the starter. You will not be the starter. Teddy Bridgewater is the guy. So if you come in here and throw for 4 touchdowns, don't think all of a sudden you've usurped Teddy. It's not going to happen. You're a backup. And if you can't accept that role, then we're going to have to move on. You have to have that talk, don't you?
Next in Four Down Territory.
Second down.
Takes the snap. Plenty of time. Surveying. Looks over the middle. That is thrown into the end zone and is picked off. Kendall Fuller picked it off. And Washington maintains their lead. Now they just need a survivor kickoff.
Wolfed Radio as Washington beats Seattle 17-15. I'm only concerned with what is going on in Seattle right now. They're 3-8.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson, who had never lost 3 in a row, has now lost 4 in a row.
Which is one more than 3 in a row.
Which has also never happened before. And things are deteriorating there. And I wonder, is this just more, is this something that as a Bronco fan we should be rooting for? that this thing just gets so bad in Seattle that they have no choice but to go in a different direction, which would include trading Russell Wilson.
If that guy's potentially available, but if you were Seattle, wouldn't you blow it up and start over with, like, make Russell part of the franchise decision on who you're going to hire as head coach? Wouldn't you think
that's
that
what I would do? Yes, because this guy's still got 10 years of football left in him.
Right. They have ownership issues in Seattle, too, though.
Does Russell want that?
Don't they?
Does Russell want to be part of a rebuild? Or does Russell say, you know what? Time for me to pull my Tom Brady. Time for me to go off where I want to go, get a career reboot, fresh start, get a ton of say. It's time. And would a 4-12 season only, you know, hasten that,
right,
that kind of feeling? That's the other thing, too, is Pete Carroll. Does Pete Carroll maybe look at what's going on in college football, say, you know what? I had a lot of fun, a lot of success.
Notre Dame just became
made a lot available. Of money running my castle at USC. Go coach Notre Dame.
That's a potential right there.
Well, something to think about. Next in 4 Down Territory.
Third down.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
Meanwhile, I'm still lighting my candle every night for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Don't think I've given up on him. I hope you haven't.
No, of course not.
All right. You keep those sources handy.
Me and Aaron we're going to reconnect here eventually.
Yeah, I've said some harsh things about him. I'm curious to see if that's...
I didn't say harsh things about him. I told the truth.
Okay, well, I'm just kind of curious. You know, he's...
I mean, if you consider the truth harsh...
I know, but he's surrounded by the Pat McAfee types that are just lobbing him softballs and, you know... Gee, Aaron...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's ready for the tough love from you. I don't know.
He needs to be ready.
Okay.
He needs to be ready. Papa Bear is going to give it to him straight.
So, apparently he's not going to get surgery on that fractured toe. Is wise move during the bye week?
Is it really fractured?
You think he's making it up?
Oh, he made up getting vaccinated.
Yeah, but he put the toe up in front of everybody to see. Didn't look... Did it look fractured to you when he put his toe up there in the camera and waggled it a little bit?
I don't. I have. Hey, listen. I have no idea.
So now you're calling him a liar. I hope you get a Green Bay game coming down the stretch.
Well, do you find the irony of I'm mad at the organization because they didn't tell me the truth and they said that I was on board with Jordan Love, and now I'm pissed, and they said they were going to consult with me about decisions, and then they didn't, and then all of a sudden, yeah, you know, I'm fully immunized, and I'm da-da-da-da. Like, you did exactly what you're pissed at the organization and the front office about is exactly what you did to your fan base. Is that irony not... It's not lost on me.
Yeah, he said he got a pain-killing injection at halftime 2 weeks ago against the Vikings. Did not need one this past week.
Okay, good.
And he talked all about how he's going to use this bye week to just, you know, rest his it's his pinky toe, by the way.
Oh, pinky toe. Is it fractured or is it just like cracked? Or what's the difference?
Wow, listen to you, Mr. 29 surgeries. Fractured.
I'm just asking.
I know. Next in 4 Down territory.
Fourth down. On 4th down. The flip to McCaffrey. Trucking left. He's got the 1st down. He's got a touchdown left pylon.
Panthers radio. Christian McCaffrey done for the year. With an ankle injury. Just a whole litany of injuries now hitting him, and I think it's fair to ask, Christian McCaffrey ever going to be the same again? Is he done at age 25? Done in terms of what we've... He played 3 games last year. He'll end up playing 7 games this year. He's a running back. And boy, we've seen, unfortunately, once you start getting hurt, once you start suffering injuries as a running back, Do you ever really ever get healthy again? For a position that has a lifetime career expectancy of, what, like 3.6 years?
Yeah. I hope not. I hope he can come back and play great football and, you know, be healthy and do all those things. It's hard for any player once you start having, you know, some injuries because your body starts compensating and other things take more pressure and all that kind of stuff. So I hope that he, I really do hope he rolls back and is great again. So
good news is he got paid.
He's still young.
He got paid.
Yeah, he's still young. And he's not one of those guys, to me, Mike, that's taken, like, he's not one of those guys that's taken a ton. Even though he runs between the tackles, he runs hard and all that stuff, he's got a natural ability to avoid a lot of that contact. He's fun to watch. Gosh, I hope he's all right.
I know, I do, too.
I really do.
Well, at least he got that contract, which included $38 million guaranteed. Michael Porter Jr. sitting back going, well done. Well done. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour on the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. All right, we'll turn it over to you. We got a ton of texts to get to. Bronco Charger leftovers. Is there anything Vic Fangio can do to win you over? Have your expectations for the Nugget season changed now with this Michael Porter Jr. news? We'll get to all of that next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Marietta is a leading supplier of ready-made.
Benny, before you start answering the phones, I need you to play this. They were playing some of the Vic Fangio in the locker room, handing out game balls.
Right.
And he said something that jumped out at me.
Okay.
And I got to get your reaction to it. Here it is.
Great f***ing job. Yeah. We ran the ball 33 times.
Yeah. Call him out. Back.
Okay. Do you hear the same thing that I just heard? He just made a huge deal about them running the ball 33 times.
Yes.
And he was obviously very happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not only happy about it, felt that it was important enough to bring it up in the context of why they just won the game.
Correct.
So all these weeks that we as fans and followers of this team have been crying, begging, please run the football more. Understand that Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams are your two best offensive players, and the offense should run through them, either them running the ball or throwing the ball to them. Vic just said right there that he agrees with everybody.
Correct.
He's the head coach.
Make it happen.
Make it happen. Well, order the code red. Let's go.
The problem is you fall down by seven and or three or whatever they fall down by, and you feel like you can't, or at least this coaching staff feels like you can't adhere to it. You can't continue to do it. And that's, you know, that's ridiculousness. That's the perfect time. You know, flip the script on your mentality. That's the perfect time to do it. It's the perfect time to double down on it, Mike. Because it's only going to help your play action game. It's only going to help everything else you want to do as an offense. It's only going to open up the middle part of the field. When you flag that ball out there and those linebackers have to play low to high, they got to come up there. They've got to respect it. It's only going to slow down your pass rush. It's only going to help you protect your quarterback, especially with an offensive line that's got some young kids in it that haven't played a lot. Like, those things are, I'll never understand coaches that get bored with doing, like, the boring things. I'll never understand how you get to the point where you don't adhere to the things that you know to be true. You win the physical matchup, you win the line of scrimmage physical matchup, and you're going to win a lot more than you lose. It's just, it's a fact. That's one thing that will never change about football. It will never, ever change. You win that physical matchup, you're going to win a lot. Now, sometimes you're going to throw, you know, you're going to throw some interceptions or, you know, some things are going to happen. You're going to fumble the ball and you're going to end up losing. But 8 times out of 10, if you win the physicality, if you win the battle of physical play, you're going to win a game. And running the ball is how you establish that.
What is 8 times out of 10? 80%.
Boom.
People say we don't know math. We own math. We show math who's boss.
That's right.
Math sees us coming and he cowers.
Like, uh-oh, here come those two bullies again.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to show me.
That's right.
On the text line, guys, I know it's not Friday yet, but is it just me? Or is Vic Fangio the Paxton Lynch of play challenges? Dread watching Vic throw a challenge flag as I did when watching Paxton play quarterback. Identical.
What is he on challenges?
It
can't be good.
It can't be good. What is he got to be? One out of every five?
Which would be? 20%.
Oh! Boom! Math!
Right off the top, man. I stuffed math in a locker.
Give it a wedgie.
Yeah.
Atomic wedgie.
Listen to me, you little You and me are going to fight at 3 o'clock, and there is nothing you can do about it.
Dad, let's go, Buddy Ravel.
Another one. My expectations with the Nuggets haven't changed, but that's because I realistically assume they wouldn't do much this year with Murray on the shelf for most of the season. All right, so with Michael Porter Jr., they're saying indefinitely, although it's his agent saying indefinitely, not the team, following this next back surgery. I'll be surprised if he comes back and plays this year, okay?
Yes.
So have your expectations now changed? What were they? What are they now?
They were, I thought the Nuggets would be a playoff team. I think they'll still be a playoff team. Have they changed? Maybe they slide a couple spots from number three, number four, to number six, number seven. So in the overall scheme of things, I don't think they've changed a whole lot for me. Kind of got to weather the storm here early, which we figured. Maybe Gordon, I mean, I look at it like when Murray comes back, maybe there's a more defined role. You're not trying to figure out what that role is for MPJ. Maybe it's a, you know, maybe it becomes one of those things where at least you know what you got going forward, how you're going to win these games. Obviously, the Joker is just an absolute beast. He was last night. I mean, amazing.
Went into Miami. All those boos. Did you hear his response to all the boos?
Go ahead.
He said, I've played in Serbia. I can handle boos.
Yeah. How do you actually say it, though? How do you actually say it? Give me your best. Give me best Serbian. Yeah.
Otherwise, I just start saying, like, Drago. You know,
That's okay. That's it. You know,
I played in Serbia.
He does.
I played in Serbia. I know boos.
Yeah.
Boos don't bother me. I played in Serbia. I've had rocks thrown at me at Serbia.
That's right. Played outdoors in the snow in Serbia.
Yeah, something tells me Serbia crowds are a little bit tougher than South Beach crowds. Good Lord. They're cute down there.
Mm-hmm. South Beach, they're all eating some type of fancy. I mean, they're serving sushi. Drinks with umbrellas in it.
Right?
In Serbia, they're serving cabbage and vinegar. They have a shot of vinegar, a bowl of cabbage.
Potato vodka.
Right. Yeah. The booze don't bother me.
Anywho.
Yes.
My expectations have changed massively now because the idea of them making a Western Conference Finals run was based on the idea that Jamal Murray comes back and is ready to go 100% for a playoff run.
Uh-huh.
Michael Porter Jr. makes the leap. And Aaron Gordon settles into a really good, comfortable role as the core four guy, right? The fourth guy of the core four.
Yeah.
Now Porter likely out for the whole year. He's not going to make that leap. He's not going to provide that. That's a huge loss. Now you're basing everything on the idea that Jamal Murray has to come back and be 100%. Nikola Jokic has to continue to play at an MVP level, which I don't worry about. But now that puts a huge amount of pressure for Aaron Gordon to do something I don't think he's capable of, or Will Barton to do something he's capable of. So I just don't see how Western Conference Finals are in play anymore. It was already kind of tenuous as it was because you were counting on a lot of big variables there. You're counting on Jamal Murray coming back from an ACL, and not only coming back, but being 100%, being the bubble Jamal Murray that we saw a couple of years ago. You're counting on that. That was already a big leap. You're counting on Michael Porter Jr. making that huge leap. Those are two big leaps right there to go along with everything else, just to make a run at the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
So now I think you got to look at it and temper those expectations. Hey, make the playoffs and win a playoff series. I think that'd be a wildly successful year, considering everything.
Yeah, that is one of those. It's like that Christmas song, Lord's a Leaping. It's a lot of leaping. You gave me a bunch of leaps.
I did throw a lot of leaps in there.
Yeah. A lot of leaping.
Evan's doing an impersonation of the Joker. Sounds like Ron Burgundy. I almost had a Burgundy moment earlier today.
I know you did.
I did.
You did.
Those of you, we're not going to bring it up again, but those of you who are listening closely, I almost had my go bleep yourself San Diego moment.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. How many lords were leaping? Eight? Was it eight lords of leaping? By the way, Ben, you looked up.
Can I get the efforting music here? The 12.
You looked up the, while you're efforting.
Can I get the music?
You looked up the.
You want to know about the leaping?
Yeah, but Ben looked up the Fangio challenges. What were the Fangio challenges? 4 of 13.
Ooh, that's not easy math. Right.
You give me the Lord's leaping, I'll do the math.
No, don't do it on your nose. No. You can figure it out without using your.
Okay, well, 4 of 10 would be 40%, so it's less than 40%. It's around 30%.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably some decimals in there or something, you know, little decimals.
On the 12 days of Christmas, nobody's leaping.
There's lords of leaping. What do you mean there's no leaping?
Some mistletoe, a guardian angel, gold and silver tinsel, candles aglowing, little silver bells, a shining star, four colored lights, three boughs of holly, two candy canes, and a song for the Christmas tree.
No,
I got the wrong lyrics.
You're on the wrong lyric. What are you on?
I don't know.
Hold on. Lords of Leaping. Lords of Leaping. Let's just see what we got here. 12 days of Christmas. All right. Partridge in a pear tree, two turtle doves, three French hens, four calling birds, five golden rings, six geese.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 10 lords a-leaping.
10 lords a-leaping.
Yeah, what was I looking at?
I don't know. What did you Google?
I think it was an Andy Williams version of it.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's two turtle doves, partridge in a pear tree. This is KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver, everybody.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.